I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Help me, I am so horribly soft.
Boys here. Hey guys. Hey, welcome. Welcome to yet another episode. We're somewhere in the 200s. I don't know which one it is. Why don't you tell me?
225 is not in front of me. Something like that. Okay. I have a memory of all these things here.
You have to write them down. My name is James Miller, and who are you, guy? The guy who does the art.
Do a barrel roll.
It's me, Ethan Hoppy Palmer. Skippy. Slippy and Hoppy and
there's Slippy, there's Peppy, there's Falco and Fox.
Peppy, that's who I was thinking of. Peppy
and and there's Wolf. John Wolf.
Yep. We're not even going to talk about John Wolf today, though.
By the CIA.
It's me, Peter O'Donohue. Did you write in do a Laurel roll at any point?
I didn't. You know what was the most shocking thing that I found out in this whole episode? We can front load it. It's not actually a barrel roll that they're doing in the games.
I've heard that. It's like a pilot semantic thing, because a barrel roll is like a coil, like a corkscrew sort of thing, right? Where what they're doing is some other maneuver.
Aileron roll, aileron roll, like a chicken wing, ale like wing, French for wing.
The ailerons are some of the like mobile flaps on like aircraft wings. I don't know if they're on the tail or on the wings or what, like. That's a rudder is the other one, is the aileron or some shit. But like, I know the aileron roll is like they go like one down, one up, and then your plane goes like, and then you pass out.
I have driven a small plane before. While it was already in the air, I didn't have to take it off or land it, thank goodness, because I was only 11. But I was in the co-pilot seat of my stepdad, who had like one of those planes that could land on the water.
And he it's like a single... In Kujawak, we would call that a single otter, which is like, I think it's like a Cessna with the pontoons.
Right, yeah. And it was pretty cool. It got to...
Did you guys ever go into the cockpit of one of the big planes, like the 747, which is something that some of our listeners are definitely too young to know existed, but like...
Yes, so pre-9/11, I sure have been in the cockpit of several passenger planes, yeah. Again, like to and from Kujawak, there's like First Air is like an Inuit-owned... airline that just goes to Northern Canada. And again, pre-9/11, the pilots just had like a curtain to separate them from the potentially dangerous passengers, in quotes, right? So like flying from Montreal to Kujawak is like a 2.5 hour flight. And sometimes my dad would take me up into the cockpit of like maybe like a 727. It had like three engines, all of them at the back. Like two on the ass and one on the tail, nothing on the wings.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a like electronic. I was really into electronics, so I was actually putting together things with batteries and wires and bringing them to the cockpit, and everything was cool.
A couple like sausages, like Vienna links tied to like an alarm clock, like an old-fashioned alarm clock. Eventually like wires and stuff.
They brought 9/11, you could bring a chrome suitcase with a clock on it anywhere you wanted. Now you guys
we couldn't get the cap off the water on our flight to BC, so my dad used a handgun just to blow it off the top.
You put like the pillow they give you if you're flying overnight, you just put that over the bottle and like execute it like you're trying to kill somebody quietly.
I do distinctly remember like being on a flight and the flight attendant was just going around to like every child and like taking turns, and like every kid got a turn to like go up to the cockpit like while it was in flight, and the pilot was just like chilling there, was on autopilot, and he just like yeah, here's, you know, this button and that button, and here's what they do. Here's the wings fall off, wings stay on switch, essentially.
No joke, all of us definitely have. I remember being young and going to BC to see my cousins and getting to go up there and everything. Yeah.
Funnily enough, I have a much more, because I never would have really thought of that unless you, like, brought that memory back up for me. But I remember more distinctly how my dad was carrying me. I was vertical with my head out forwards. He was carrying me like a 2x4, basically, and like just like carried me in his arms, like straight in, like under one arm with his other arm supporting me, through the curtain to the cockpit, got to see everything, talked to the guys briefly, and then back to my seat.
And you had your arms out like an airplane. You were an airplane in an airplane.
Was an airplane for Halloween in Cujuac once. I did make an airplane costume, which was a cardboard box that I hung off my shoulders like a hobo barrel. And then I had little cardboard wings and carved out pie plates into propellers. I was an airplane for Halloween when I was like 3.
Very cute.
Very cool. So you know who else likes the airplanes? It's the Star Foxes and all those guys. And
The Star Frog, the Star Falcon, the Star Bunny, and the Mr. John Star Wolf.
I don't know this wolf that you guys want to talk about, but we're not going to talk about this wolf.
He's the grumpy one in the Star Fox 64, isn't he?
Yeah. He's like the enemy, I thought. He's like the bad guy.
No, the bad guy is an ape eventually.
Andross, right?
Andross. But like originally he looks like a mask. But first, before we even get into it, let's thank our sponsors who asked for this one. There's Fitty and Fragile Shark, who are of the paying varieties, so they get the thanks first. And Beast Supreme, you get the thanks next, and I like your name. So you guys all wanted Star Fox, and Pete actually said, Jamie, why don't you do Star Fox? I'm like, that's the path of least resistance.
Flohican. Flohican said it as well, because when you were just like, what do I do? And then Commodore Turtle was just like, well, Jamie, we all like Prey. You should do Prey. And I was just like, I will kill Jamie if he touches Prey. I didn't even know you had played it.
Yeah, I played it on PS4, and I didn't finish it. Yeah.
Well, don't. It's mine.
Yeah.
Don't touch
I'm
my baby.
Spoil that shit for you. Don't you dare finish that game on your own.
Can't find my baby.
So what is Star Fox? For the person who has never played Star Fox, it's a spaceship shooter. It's been a third-person action-adventure game. And mostly those. It's like driving vehicles and shooting, or third-person action-adventure made by our friends at Nintendo.
Yeah, the Fox part is pretty incidental. It's very much like Star first, Fox after.
Yeah. Have you guys played any of them?
I've played 64.
I played 3 of them, actually. And I've never finished a single one.
I've played 64, and I've played Assault.
Okay.
Which was for the GameCube. But I don't think, like, to completion either of them, because in both cases it was a friend of mine growing up who owned them.
Cool. Yeah.
Same. So I played 64 at various places, but I never had an N64, but I knew, like, multiple boys who had Star Fox 64.
What, girls can't own Star Fox 64 now, Peter?
Not in the 90s, dude. I didn't make the laws, but I voted for it as soon as I turned 18. Don't worry, ladies. I'm on your side.
I had to wait for the pink Game Boy Color to come out before they were allowed to play video games.
Yeah, exactly.
We can ask Commodore Turtle if she ever played Star Fox.
That's true, yeah. And I played... Kyle had the SNES one, but his SNES was, like, old as shit. So I played the first Star Fox. It just would crash constantly. And I only found out there was a Star Fox 2 on N60 on SNES 2 days ago.
Yeah.
When my friend was over with her Switch, and she has the Nintendo subscription with all the, like, classics, basically. And I was like, there's a Star Fox 2 now?
There's a good story to that, and we will get over it.
I also played Star Fox Adventure, the one where you beat up dinosaurs with a stick.
Yes, Star Fox Adventure was sick. I played that too. It was like basically a Zelda game, but you play as Star Fox. And then there's like every once in a while you get to be in a ship and shooting stuff. But most of the time you're just like exploring Corneria and like, there's a puzzle. You got to go get this item. So now you can do this thing and now you can solve this puzzle. And then go fight the other guys. And
thanks to JonTron, the first JonTron video I ever saw, I know that one of the areas in that game is called Krizoa Palace, and I don't think I've ever seen it. Like, that's it.
It was like very mixed reviews, but anyways, like at first Star Fox was like very much on rails, like it was still passing as 3D, but it was still quite linear. Like, you basically could move left and right, but you were kind of almost like a Mario Kart track. Like, you're going to go in a certain direction every time you play the level kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like,
the Super Nintendo one is like 3D, which is pretty impressive for the Super Nintendo, but it's like a smooth pyramid with like a flashing texture at the back to be like the jet engine for the spaceship.
Yeah, it doesn't look great, but we'll get into why it looks that way and everything too.
You're going to tell me why it looks like shit on this episode, Jamie?
Yeah, I will.
Cool.
Yeah, as the series progresses, there's a lot more directional freedom. You start to have more like 3D space falling. The games, the people that you follow or like the animals that you follow, anthropomorphized or whatever that word is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You play as a furry.
Yeah, you play as lead furry. Fox McCloud is the main character. Cool. And the games take place around the Lylat planetary system.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so he's Fox McCloud, he's Scottish, or at least one of his parents is.
Yeah, his...
I guess his father would have to be.
His father's named James McCloud.
Oh.
Yeah.
That could be a guy related to you, frankly.
Yep.
And Wolf, because I looked it up, and I'm going to pepper him in throughout this episode. It's Wolf O'Donnell.
Okay. Oh!
So, a Scotsman and an Irishman walk into a bar.
No wonder they hate each other.
So the games take place, like I said, in the Lylat planetary system. Your team fights mostly in R-Wing fighter aircrafts. And sometimes there's other vehicles or even you're on foot, but R-Wing is like the main one you fight out of.
Wow, real communists, huh?
In 64, right?
You do. You get a tank in a few of the games.
Yeah, I know in Assault you do for sure. There's like a train mission where you have to like either drive on the back of a train or drive alongside a train.
Yeah.
To like stop it in time or something.
They originally made the game was going to be tanks, but then the tanks felt weird, so they said, let's go airplanes instead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. There you go.
Yep.
Didn't realize it was that close in game design. It's like, if you just take the wheels off and give it wings, it's a jet game now.
Well, our tanks are acting like planes. Well, why don't we just make them planes?
Yeah.
okay. Yeah. Do you guys know the four members of the Star Fox crew that make an appearance in all the games? They're like the ones that you should know if you know Star Fox.
We've already said them. So Fox, Slippy, Peppy, and Falco.
They all have last names.
Oh, I don't know. I know McCloud. That's the only last
McCloud.
Name.
Slippy and Peppy are like kind of like really on the nose. But
Slippy Frog.
Is it like it's Slippy Toad, isn't
Slippy
it?
Toad.
Slippy Toad.
Yeah,
but he is a frog.
I remember like Mr. Toad in his automobile is very much that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Peppy Rabbit?
Peppy Hare, but he is a rabbit.
Peppy Hare. Okay.
Yeah. And gotcha. Falco is the only one with a cool last name. Falco Lombardi.
Oh, he's Italian.
He's Italian. Yeah. Very nice.
And spaghetti, you know what?
Nice.
They don't say what bird he is. He's not a falcon. He's just an avian race. He's,
why?
Sure. Yeah. the first.
What the fuck? Why that one?
I don't know. It's decisions. Yeah. Fox is a fox. Slippy Toad is a frog. Peppy Hare is a rabbit. Falco Lombardi is an unnamed.
Wolf is a wolf. Wolf is a wolf. I'm on the page right now. Species Canis.
You want to let me know what his role is? His role is in any of the games? Because he's going to have no part in any of those.
Yeah, so leader of Star Wolf and rival of Fox McCloud.
Okay.
He's also known as Star Wolf.
Okay.
He was hired by Andros during the Lylat Wars to take down the Star Fox team. Okay. He's a boss in 64, I think.
Okay. So what we're going to do is do the backstory of Star Fox and the backstory of Andros leading up to why you should hate Andros at the beginning of the first Star Fox game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And the first Star Fox game was for the Super Nintendo in 1993. I have played this one. It was one of the very first 3D games on console. But the SNES couldn't run the game by itself. It needed a little help. So this outside company from Nintendo called Argonaut Software built something called the Super FX chip that could render these 3D polygons, but it was placed in the cartridge rather than in the console. So it was like an extra bulky contra, or I guess it looked the same, but it just had more on the inside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is very much pre 9/11 because you can just have secret microchips in your game.
Yes. I remember.
Can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Back before Star Fox, I was able to go see the inside of all the cartridges before I played them.
Choose to play my SNES games.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you remember in the first Mario Kart when Yoshi got to show you the wheel? No more, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is great for the user because you don't have to like alter your console in any way or get like a super Nintendo.
You also don't need that like leaning tower of like clip-on Sega bullshit that you ended up with like the 32X and the Mega Drive or whatever.
I had a Japanese copy of Mario 3 for the NES, and you had to put like a converter in. So it was like basically two things stuck together that would go inside my Nintendo so I could play it, but it worked very well. Yeah. If you played Star Fox on the SNES today, it wouldn't look so good. Oh, before I miss this, one of the engineers of the chip was named Ben Cheese. Just had to say it.
Okay.
Ben Cheese.
Sorry, I almost took my beer there. Him and Greg from the Bionicle episode got to get together and sort it out.
Yeah.
Greg and Ben.
They mentioned three names, but Ben Cheese, you're the only one going to be remembered throughout history because your name is Ben Cheese.
Now, yeah. Is it like C-H-E-E-S-E, or is it like a European... And you're just like anglicizing like C H I E Z or something.
Oh, it's straight up cheese, baby. Just
hell yeah. Cheese. I'm getting tummy aches already.
Yeah, stay away from Peter. You menace.
Don't shake his hand, Pete.
Yeah.
I can play Star Fox. I just need to take pills first. Which is probably if they made Star Fox VR, it would probably be the same story today, actually. I don't know if any of you have tried space games in VR, but being upside down then backwards and turning around, it's like so incredibly like confusing. You're so used to racing in like a 2D plane. Once you add 3D, you can get lost so easily.
Yeah. I mean, not even 3D, just like stick movement, it's called, as opposed to teleport movement, just like breaks my brain. Where like I can feel my body is very clearly stationary, but you press the stick forward and it starts like moving your character forward. I just like, I'm Dr. Steve Brule stepping onto a boat for the first time
in
seasickness. Yeah. So yeah, oh,
man. But he sure does love sushi sandwiches.
I know. Arizona Sunshine made me immensely dizzy immediately as far as VR goes.
Yeah,
but Half-Life Alyx did not.
So one thing that helps too is if you have like a HUD, so if you could see the inside of your ship, like you could see a bit of the dashboard, see the rear view mirror and stuff, like just because we've been in cars for so long, like it helps our brain kind of deal with it. But it's hard for anyone. But anyways, Pete, because of the cheese, can't play Star Fox. Ben Cheese.
I don't know if you should be listening to this episode, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah, if you played Star Fox on the SNES today, like Pete says, it doesn't look so great anymore. Like, the R-Wing is like a single polygon with two polygons as wings kind of thing. It looks like really, really bad.
Like you can understand what you're looking at. It's very creative. But it is, it's three white triangles and like two blue triangles, right?
Yeah. The work that they did with those... with those like six polygons was pretty good.
Yeah. Like the tech now is almost 30 years old, but at the time it was like an absolute feat that you could have a 3D flight simulator on your console. Not quite a flight simulator, but like what it was. It was crazy that on the SNES, where most things were like sprites for like Mario side scrollers, like to have 3D there was really, really big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched my friend play Earthbound this weekend again when we were on her Switch, and it's just like Earthbound doesn't even have like battle animations.
Yeah,
on the Super Nintendo, like it's like a bunch of like flashing lights and static images.
It took it to the absolute limit, like of the console. Yeah.
Earthbound came out a year after Star Fox.
Yeah,
jeez.
So.
And Star Fox, like some other SNES games that use the Super FX chips, were when they ported Doom over to the Super Nintendo.
Hell yeah.
And also Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. just for the amount of sprites, and they wanted to like have different sizes of stretching the sprites and stuff like that. So just, I guess, so Nintendo could make one of their Mario games look as good as possible, they gave it as much processing power as they could. So Star Fox 64 even also revolutionized the video game industry, because they were the first N64 game to feature Rumble Pack support, and they threw a Rumble Pack in when you bought the game.
Hell yeah.
So they brought us to the Rumbleverse.
Oh, step into the Rumbleverse. featuring Bruce, the Banner Twins, I guess, or the Banner Brothers.
Yep.
The guys who say, let's get ready to run. Yep. At sporting events. Oh. Or that's Buffett, I think. Excuse me, the Buffett Brothers.
Right. Maybe the R wing stands for Rumble Wing. Who knows?
Isn't it AR though?
So yeah, you actually you foiled me, because the next point was going to be the R wing was named after the shape of its first letter in its name, and it's A, it's not A. R. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's named after the A. It looks like an A when it flies. Like most planes kind of are in that shape of a fuselage. But anyways, like
yeah.
It looks like
Star Wars ships are all kind of named after a letter. You've got like the X-wing is the is the main one, because it's got like the crossed wings.
Yeah. It's just weird that why not call it the A-wing? Like, why do you have to go AR-wing? Because it sounds so much like R-wing.
And then they name it like R-wing.
And then they name it after it. Anyways. Mm-hmm. Argonaut and Nintendo make a super good team, because Argonaut made the game work good, and Nintendo made the characters and the story. And own the console, and they sold over 3 million copies of the original Star Fox.
Holy shit. That's that's a big deal when we were 2.5 years old.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Star Fox and Star Fox 64 did not have the same name in Europe. They're called Star Wing and Lilith Wars, because Nintendo is worried about a German company, Star Vox. And if you look up Star Vox, it gives you a Canadian company. So make sure to Google Star Vox Germany, because it's a Canadian something to do with Banksy. I'm not sure what they...
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a Hugo Boss thing, where it's just like, yeah, they didn't want to be compared to Starvox, who made, I don't know, like bootstraps for the Nazis or something. Yeah. Like, well, we'll just call it Lilat Wars.
Yeah. In the end, it didn't end up being a problem, and they ended up being able to call future Star Fox games just Star Fox. But they were worried about it, so they didn't call it back then. So Star Fox 2 had a ton more innovations in store for players. It actually looked really good on the SNES. They ditched the rails. They had full-on 3D space combat where you could fly around, battle arenas, turn-based combat that would like launch into dogfights kind of thing.
That's cool.
The R-Wing could morph from a mech, from like a plane into a mech to navigate structures. But it looked pretty funny, because the R-Wing would just go and, like, it's the single polygon. I know you're looking it up. Let me describe it for you. There's the single polygon and then the two to the two wings, right, of the normal first game. The wings would just go down and become feet, and there'd be, like, little guides of light. So it would walk like you do with your fingers kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
But the wings were feet now, and
kind of like everyone's favorite dinosaur, a pterodactyl, how it uses its wings as like four limbs whenever it's walking on the ground. That dinosaur. Well,
like a pterodactyl walks like a gorilla. This thing is straight up like it looks like a kiwi. Like it's a bird without wings when it's walking around.
It looks it literally just becomes a triangle floating in the air with two triangles that are feet that now walk like it's a mech. But it looks really silly.
There's an anime from the 80s. I watched like half the first episode, but it's just too janky for me, called Robotech, which I think is like fighter jets that turn into mechs.
Cool.
So that's which is also very cool.
In like an anime or something, you could execute that pretty well. But on the SNES, where already like 3D space combat, battle arenas, turn-based combat, like all this, you're packing so much 3D shit into a 2D console that you're not going to get a good mech. You're not going to get
like,
that.
Like, it's like, okay, so we can get Star Fox 1 onto an airplane, no problem. But even in 1994, Star Fox 2 had a bunch of fucking wires hanging out of it and shit. And nah, man, you can't take that.
It gets hot, the cartridge would glow red if you left it in the SNES too long. Like,
but it looked amazing. Like you can now play it, but the SNES, like the game looks so good that they axed it in 1996 because the N64 was coming out in 1997, and they didn't want the general public to be like, if you could do 3D on the thing I already have, why should I buy the new one that does the 3D?
No fucking way.
Yeah, so they killed Star Fox 2, even though it was going to be a sick game on the SNES.
Because I mentioned it, I don't know if it was on the bonus audio or on this one. Yeah. I didn't even know that game fucking existed until 2 days ago.
It didn't.
I thought Star Fox 2 was Star Fox 64.
It didn't release until 2017 when they, with the classic SNES thing that they released. That's whenever Star Fox 2 came out. And you could play it in the mid-noughts, but like through a ROM because it got leaked. But like, officially, you couldn't play it until like 5 years ago.
Well, no, now you need to buy the official ROM and emulator on the Switch for $9.99 a year or whatever.
It's a shame that it was a really good looking game for the time. But most of the ideas of it made it into Star Fox 64. Like the mechs and walking around and stuff like that. Star Fox 64, what was really cool too, is they did what... The replayability of it was great because they did what a lot of roguelikes do today, where you have like a branching tree of levels to choose from, and you have like your first level and your last level, which you're going
to
end up at.
Oh, like FTL or whatever, where you have to like choose which systems you visit on your way, and like,
or Slay the Spire, like all these like roguelike games where you get to choose your own path. So for 1997, when Star Fox 64 came out, that was pretty new. And it had a lot of replayability to it. So,
no kidding.
Yeah.
I quickly Googled because I was really curious if like Argonaut, like if Nintendo made this decision and then like Argonaut like went out of business or something like that. They didn't. They stayed in business right up to publishing Star Fox 2 in 2017 for the SNES, Classic, or whatever it is. But their actual like last title released was Catwoman the Game. So, that's what did it to them.
Yeah, I can believe that.
But fun little side fact: they developed two Bionicle games.
What?
Which we've done episodes on recently. So Bionicle and Bionicle Matoran Adventures were both developed by Argonaut Games as well.
Hell yeah! Huh. Cool, small world.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, guys!
Yeah. So yeah, Nintendo being worried about making the N64 obsolete before it came out killed Star Fox 2, but we did eventually get it. Then there was N64 version. Like I said, it's got the branching tree. It's pretty cool. But after the N64, the series goes away from 1997 all the way to 2002. And eventually a game
just crazy because it was popular on the N64 too. Like everybody who had an N64 or like all the kids at our age knew what Star Fox was, right? Like even if like I didn't have it, but like I knew what it was.
Most people in OG Smash too. Like
he was Fox. Sure.
Most like people today, like the 18-year-olds we have in the Discord server, know him from Smash and not from games. Like
yeah.
Me
that's probably where they know Wolf from too, because Wolf's also in Smash.
Yeah, my roommate Scooter would play Fox, and I would play Captain Falcon, who were, I think, Fox was the fastest character, and Falcon was either the second or third fastest character in N64 Smash. So we'd have like these really quick battles where like quick blocks going off, and like it felt really intense. We weren't the highest level, but we were close to each other's level, which made it a lot of fun. And we would bet who takes out the garbage game of Smash. We're hungry for McDonald's. Who goes and buys 4 McDoubles and lugs them back from town to home? Game of Smash. And we were the only two in the house. We would always come close to beating each other. And then anytime anyone came to visit, we would just wipe the floor with them. Like no one could take a stock off of us. Yeah. It was really fun. In our own little world, we felt like elites. And then I went to a tournament and for N64 Smash. And I did have one really cool game where I was down to one and the guy had 3 stocks. And I came all the way back and I finished the last kill with a mid-air Falcon punch that knocked him out. Oh, man, I got chills. The crowd went wild. And then I played a Kirby the next game that I didn't get a stock off of. And and I just got the floor wiped with me. But
I mean, Kirby in Smash 1.
Oh, yeah?
In Melee, I mained Luigi.
Cool. Because
he could do the sideways move where he turned into like Peter getting carried by his dad on an airplane.
Oh yeah,
he just completely horizontal, shot himself through the air like a missile, and that was my favorite.
It was a very cool move. Melee at the highest level, like, I've never been at the highest level of any of the Smash games, but with all the wave dashing and stuff, it's just so insane.
Yeah.
I feel like the one that I'm the best at is the 64 version, but yeah. Where was I? I got so sidetracked.
Pause from 1997 to 2002 for Star Fox Adventures.
Which is like a thing that Nintendo does to everything except like Mario v Sonic at the Tokyo Olympics, right? Yeah. Like all their good franchises that don't have Mario, they're just like, no one wants to buy this. We will never make another one ever, which is like it's Metroid. Weird. Like I played Super Metroid this weekend for basically the first time on a Nintendo console. Good, yeah. This shit kicks ass. I know Dread is supposed to be good, but like
Metroid, I think Metroid got more love. They got like Nintendo GameCube 1, 2, 3 Metroid Primes. Right?
Yeah, you had the Prime series, but then like that's been like 22 years, and all we have is a JPEG of Metroid 4, right?
Yeah.
Or Prime 4, Prime right? 4. Like that's what the true. Fuck?
Dread looks really good. That's a game that I if I had infinite dollars, I would buy and play. But Nintendo games are just way too expensive. I wish they would.
I know three people who have played it, and all three of them say that it kicks ass. It's apparently excellent. Yeah.
Apparently, it's like even a little bit hard too, which I'm like, cool. I'm down for my 30-year-old gaming career. Like, I feel like I'm ready. I'm ready for a hard Metroid game. Like, let's do
it. Take off the train and wheels.
Yep.
I'll call him out. I don't know when to listen to this. Kyle, a bitch. He couldn't finish Dread.
Yeah. <There you go. laughs>
I've never played it, so I don't know if I'm gonna eat those words one day. But like, yeah.
So yeah, it takes 5 years from them to go from Star Fox 64 to the adventure game. I liked it. A lot of people didn't. I kind of talked about it before. Part of the reason why it wasn't as good as it could have been. I don't know if you guys remember, but around the 2002 era, Rare was owned like 49% by Nintendo, and all 51% was bought out by Microsoft.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, well, we control your game now, and it's going out like right now. It's going out as ASAP as possible, baby. So it's not ready, but let's go. And I played the game and I liked it. It felt like a Zelda game. I was young though. Like I was 11 when I played it or whatever, or like 13. I think it's probably after it came out a little bit. But I like those adventure type games, complete puzzles, fight enemies. Mixed reviews though overall.
Remember the dinosaurs? You needed to get like a headset that translated them because they had like a goofy unga bunga made up language.
Yeah.
Like before you could get the translator, they'd be like, like Fox spoke English alone, and everyone else talked like they were in Banjo Kazooie. Right?
Yeah.
In the original Star Fox had the Banjo-Kazooie bit too, like the one.
Yes,
on the
that's true. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. But they spoke English and the N64.
N64, they hired voice actors to be like, yeah, so we would care more about the characters, I guess. Star Fox Adventures, the dinosaurs you're talking about, it was originally developed not to be a Star Fox game. It was going to be a game called Dinosaur Planet. And they renamed it, reskinned it to be a Star Fox game. That's why there's just like a bunch of dinosaurs now. And it's like, okay, this isn't really what we were doing before. But now we're crash landed on a planet. So this is what we're doing.
That's a pretty good reuse of assets, honestly, I gotta say.
I like the game. I don't have my GameCube anymore, but I'd love to look at some gameplay now to see if it is as good as I remember it. I probably have some nostalgia goggles on.
It's got an aggregate score of 82 out of 100 on Metacritic. So,
okay. All right.
Generally well received.
Yeah. 8 1/5 doctors agree.
Yeah. That... Recommend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Recommend taking the cap off your toothpaste before you get onto an airplane.
Okay, so that's all like the real world stuff that I'm
the production shit.
Yeah, that's all the stuff that I like going over before diving in. But let's get into some in-game lore. What is Star Fox? Do you guys know what Star Fox is?
It's the name of the Air Force, basically, right? It's like the army is called Star Fox, and he's just coincidentally a fox.
It's not named after Fox McCloud. It's named after his father, James McCloud.
And, okay.
Oh, yeah. They should have called it Star James.
Or James Fox.
Or James Fox.
So it's not like an army. It's a team of mercenaries. They're adventurers for hire.
Oh, that... thank God. Yes. Yeah, unaccountable men who kill for money.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so they should have named it Blackwater is what you're saying.
Yes, of course. Or Fox Water.
Yeah. So Star Fox was founded by James McLeod and eventually would be led by his son Fox. But since it's in none of the games and it's only in like Nintendo Power and stuff, let's dive into the James McLeod history. And a fellow JM, I can't let him just get forgotten, right?
So, yeah.
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 Fellow Scott.
So the picture that I posted that looks like Fox McLeod but with sunglasses is James McLeod.
Oh shit, he's the cooler Fox.
Yeah.
They literally put sunglasses on his son. And
it's too bad that those sunglasses weren't hereditary, because that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sunglasses, you normally do hand them off to your son, right? That's why they call them sunglasses. Glasses
oh,
you give to your
yeah,
son.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Obviously he was blown up in action, so the sunglasses were destroyed with him.
Yeah. Not quite blown up, but not far off. yeah. Also,
give my son command. You bury me with my. I want to die with my glasses on.
I like how in the picture that you. I thought it was just like fan art at first, but if I clicked on the image, it got slightly bigger. You can see JAM on his flight suit under his coat.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up is just Cooler Fox. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. No, I took that from the wiki rwing.wikipedia.com or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. But so what we know about Fox, his son, is his mom and dad aren't around by the time we play the games, and we'll learn why he's an orphan.
Okay, yeah. Judas. There was like, they were flying in the, what is it? The Cornetto system? The Cornelius
the Lilat system.
Lilat?
Okay. They're flying in the Cornetto. Lilat system.
You're not far off from their home planet is like corn.
The planet yeah, is what I'm thinking of.
Cornerian.
So they're flying the Lilat system and like he you know it's classic dogfight where he's like I got him in my sights. He's trying to like line up the shot, but then he like pulls up, the sun is in the way, so he like flips the over his eyes, but then when he pulls like the villain does like another like hard left, banks left, right. And he like pulls away, and now it's too dark and now he can't see, and the guy slips behind him and blows him up. That's why Fox has vowed to never wear sunglasses while fighting.
Why didn't they do that in Top Gun with all the sunglasses in that fight, man? that would have been a good one.
I heard that movie saved Ray-Ban, like the company.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because like Tom Cruise like allegedly just like had a pair of Ray-Bans. He's got the Ray-Ban aviators, right? Yeah. And apparently that like that movie, which I am sad to say I've never seen, but the trailer for the new one does look very cool. He like that movie was so popular that it made Ray-Ban aviators super popular and like single-handedly saved the sunglasses company.
No way.
Like, I have a pair that I found at a bus stop 7 years ago, and they're like the best sunglasses I've ever owned in my life.
Yeah.
The sales of Ray-Ban skyrocketed by 40% as a result of the movie.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. That's fucking wild. Yeah.
Cool. Wow. Well, unfortunately, there
so James
was no...
So James McLeod saved Ray-Ban.
Well, the next generation doesn't really wear any sunglasses, so I don't think Ray-Ban made it in this multiverse.
Dang.
Yeah. So James raised his only son, Fox, with peppy hair, acting as a godparent. He's providing the young McLeod with valuable teachings to never give up and trust his
God
own
parent.
Sons. Yeah. Well, no, James had a wife who we're going to learn about eventually, but she's dead on the open here, and we'll jump back whatever that's called in Emperor's New Groove when you start off in the middle and you jump
in media res.
I love how Jamie, who has clearly never written fiction, is just like, frame of reference, Emperor's New Groove, Disney movie that no one has ever seen. And what is the term?
No one has ever seen.
I think that's a very popular movie.
I love that one, but like I remember there was like the Disney Prince era, Emperor's New Groove, Hercules, Treasure Planet, and Atlantis were all bombs.
Oh, they were sick.
I mean, Treasure Planet and Atlantis I've seen maybe once, but Emperor's New Groove and Hercules seen a million times.
Same.
Yeah. For sure.
They apparently bombed.
Yeah, so James, like myself, very skilled pilot, sky fighter. He served in the Cornerian army.
Like you.
Yep. right alongside his best friend, Peppy. So, like, Peppy the rabbit or the hare, that we fight with, like, to this day kind of thing, is, like, your dad's friend and, like, your mentor. He's, like,
he's the other guy who plays topless volleyball with him, right?
Yeah, he's been around forever. He's Goose if Goose survived. Yeah.
I mean,
unless Goose is just a goose with Ray-Ban.
Falco's a non-determinate avian species. He's a goose. Like,
it's true. Marvel's canon.
Falco's a goose.
Oh, man. Tom Cruise is a rat. James McLeod, he fights alongside his greatest friend Pepe with the or Peppy. We can't get too close to that. And their superior officer is also his friend named General Pepper. So Pepper's the droopy faced dog.
Yeah,
so
he's like a mastiff, right?
Yeah, so Peppy is the hare and Pepper is the droopy faced dog, like the kind that would operate an elevator for time travelers. That, remember when I said that you guys didn't know what I was talking about? He's like super droopy faced dog, you know.
It was Peter, you weren't there, it was me and Jamie drunk playing Deep Rock one night.
That's why I said yes and then shook my head on camera.
But I said droopy faced dog who operated an elevator for time travelers, and I was speaking a different language, but we did find him eventually. His name,
I mean, Droopy was like a bellhop. Like Droopy Dog, the Hanna-Barbera character, was like a bellhop. That's cartoon.
Who's referring,
Yeah. So we needed Pete to be drunk with us to for me not to seem like a crazy person.
Sorry.
Pete's the translator between me and Jamie. We get too drunk, so.
Yeah, but I'm like the translator in a documentary. You can still see your guy. You can still hear your guys' voices like faded out in the background. And, I am a droopy faced dog, and I operate. I am an elevator for time travelers. In the background, you guys are like, "Nya mo nya mo nya mo." Talking.
What floor, Mr. Palmer? James. This is the rise to James Fox. This is his upward motion. Him and Peppy Hare start up an independent elite commando of mercenaries for hire, known as the Star Fox Team.
There is like an actual pipeline of like military to PMC that is like troublingly common, so that's exactly what you would do. It's just like, I'm tired of all these fucking rules, am I right?
I'm tired of people telling me who I can and can't kill. God damn it,
all this red tape.
All for free too, what the fuck.
So they're independent, but their goal is to preserve justice and not just make money. That said, they made a shit ton of money.
Yeah, no kidding. You got the thin fox line, like it's like
I love to picture Peppy being like, all right, cool. I ran out and acquired us some ships, some R-Wings for us to start our mercenary company. You took care of the naming the business right and filing our copyright. it's Star Rabbit and Fox Mercenary Co.
The Fox and the Hare. Star Fox? So they're also a third member of the team, which they brought on just to balance out even three like us, named Pygma Dengar.
Oh, Pygma nuts.
It's so sad that Steve Jobs died of Pygma. This is that pig you posted that has scars on his forehead and like a wetsuit on.
Yeah, I posted. Try not to pay attention to how evil he looks because he's on our side right now. But if you look at a picture of him, you might not trust this Pygma Dengar folk.
I don't.
Yeah.
But I would trust him in as much that he's clearly like an absolute buffoon. So I would trust that I'd be able to beat him in a dog fight or a fox fight, I guess.
He's very cunning teammate, and he's always seemed to be well ahead of the curve in quotations. So he's
kind of curvy. he tick boy.
Pygma broke the internet. It's the picture of him holding the towel under his giant pig.
I don't want to draw that. Don't write it down. I saw your fucking arms moving.
uh, So throughout their adventures, James, Star Fox, all the folks, they've traveled like from one end to the Lylat system and back, like both in every three dimensions. They've been to every corner of the Lylat system, taking jobs and settling troubles.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So even though justice is their motivation, the money wasn't bad either. They had earned a lot of space money. So they're like, James, like, let's reinvest in the business. Let's get a new team's headquarters.
Let's reinvest in the business. Yeah, you're right. Let's go destabilize some third world planet in the system.
I was just going to say exactly that.
We develop headquarters. Like, I wasn't thinking, yeah, no, me too. That was just a joke. That was sorry, Peppy.
So he purchased a unique mothership under exclusive contract from Space Dynamics called the Great Fox. This is the map in Smash Bros. 64 called Sector Z. You know the ship you fight on top of?
Yep. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, that's the same ship. I looked up the... It wasn't mentioned in the lore, but I looked up Space Fox or Star Fox or Space Fox and... wait, what is it?
It's the one you deploy out of,
right?
Great
Fox.
It's like the gate in the back you fly your ships out of?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like... It can go really fast from system to system, but it's not as, like, I guess, nimble. So you launch your R-Wings out of it. But that's, like, where you take your space missions and everything out of.
Yeah. Naming something Space Fox in a game called Star Fox is so incredibly stupid.
The Great Fox, Great Fox.
Okay. I did Google Space Fox. Yeah. Apparently, Volkswagen has a car called a Space Fox.
Yeah.
Which I don't think it's sold in North America, but
right. Is the Great Fox it's just big mothership. But the Great Fox was so expensive that James also, on top of all of his stacks of cash, took an 80-year loan out of a bank to finance the construction.
Oh my god.
I'm not sure why that's in the lore, but capitalism still has to exist in the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I got a loan to build my spaceship against the stability of the Panamanian government. Like, don't worry, it'll turn out.
I mean, this is some good character development for him as a potential scoundrel, though, because foxes have to live, what, like 7-8 years? So him taking
that's true.
Just being like, oh, yeah, I'm totally good for you, wearing like those glasses with like the fake nose and mustache to make him look like a human, basically, like at the bank trying to secure a loan.
Sly Fox.
What's that? I was thinking, because you were saying the other guy was so crafty, I was thinking like stupid like a pig. Which is not the expression at all.
I like that, though. Yeah, crafty, I'm stupid. Like I'm stupid like a pig.
But I'm also curvy and sexy like one.
Yeah. And then I turn around and I drop my
shoulder.
Pants.
Yeah.
Jamie's wearing a towel right now.
Yeah. So yeah, this is kind of like the buildup of Star Fox. The main three folks who started it, James Fox, Peppy Hare, Pygma Dengar. Pygma is supposed to sound like Dogma because he's dogmatic, is what they said. And Dengar is from a certain dialect of Japanese. I think it's Kansai. And that dialect of Japanese, they often finish their sentences in the word Dengar. So Dengar was supposed to be like a kind of a Japanese joke. Like a wordplay thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So very funny.
Those are our three main Star Fox folks. This has been the uprising and like the building of Star Fox. And I think it's a perfect place at a high to take a break. And we'll come back with some less great news.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And so I was saying, pig my nuts. Welcome back for the break. Now that we met our good guy, James.
Who the hell is James McLeod?
James McLeod.
Balls.
Yeah. If you rearrange the letters in James McLeod, it spells ride on these nuts.
Yeah.
Could I also, one thing that I did manage to squeeze in before the break, but setting up an 80-year loan does give James McLeod the motivation to never back down from being a mercenary and never like retire peacefully, right? He's like, I got fucking bills to pay, dude, for the next 80 years. I was an adult when I took on these loans and they're going to last for 80 fucking years. What's that? I don't want to die destitute.
Yeah, it's like a double mortgage. It's like a...
It's like 2.5.
Yeah.
What mortgages is interest in dog years is my question.
That's 3 mortgages. Most mortgages run 25 years. You can get 30-year mortgages. So like, that's like over 3 mortgages.
Okay. Well, now that we've met our good guy, the indebted James McLeod, those JMs are just great people.
Oh yeah, the indebted murderer. I'm sure he's the good guy. Yeah.
The indentured guy really should have been the Irish one, but you know, what do I know?
James McLeod actually is good guy. He is good guy. He still will be good guy. But it is time to meet our villain, Andros. I took from the games and Nintendo Power, mostly Nintendo Power, to fill out his backstory, because the games are a little bit like, you know he's bad, but you don't know all the reasons why he's bad. And Nintendo Power, they filled in the juice, my boys. They put the hot goss, the tea on what's going on here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in the early 90s, it was Desert Storm, and it was Nintendo Power. It was only intended for 10-year-old boys. I'm going to just throw out a wild guess here that within the current post 9/11 context of not being able to take Nintendo Power on a plane or whatever, it's probably going to be way too brutal for children by our stats.
Yeah, okay, good. it literally involves a bomb at one point that you couldn't bring this on a plane. Yeah, okay.
Nice. Yeah, okay.
Two bombs.
Okay. Yeah. Christ.
Yeah. Little boy and Fat Man?
Yeah.
Andros smuggled into the Lilat system. Sorry. On the Enola Gay. That was his ship, actually. It was the Enola Gay.
So Andros, he's an adopted son. If you look at him in the original game, he looks like a floating mask, but then he kind of evolves to be a floating mask that's also an ape later on. But he's adopted by two foster parents who are upstanding android pigs living on the planet Corneria.
Oh, I remember the chrome pigs from Star Fox 64.
Yeah.
Upstanding robot pigs. Uh-huh. I mean...
It writes itself, yes. Yeah, so this is the same planet as the Fox team. And he followed in his robo-parents' footprints as a scientist. And his brilliant mind was soon known across the Lilat system, mostly for his medical work. So he grows up, and he's a good guy at first.
He discovered a way to give robot pigs true life.
Yeah.
That was his graduate thesis.
And you have to take away real pigs' actual lives, which is kind of the same part, but
In real life, we have like rat brains being put into like these horrible into robots or whatever to control like different little machines, and this guy is like taking robot brains and putting them into real pigs to control their body, like giving them actual flesh bodies. Like, help me, I am so horribly soft.
I say that to myself every time I poke myself in the belly, honestly.
that's what got Pete going back to the gym.
I just got my
robot pig brain.
What if a robot pig's brain ever got implanted into my body? What would they think? Would they judge me?
That's how you stay driven, my man, is you got to keep that mindset.
Yeah, exactly.
Pigma male.
Okay, that's very good. That's very good.
You got it, because in my head I was looking for something to put on Grindset, but it's okay.
It fit like literally like the last piece in a puzzle, like the perfect fit just kind of went right there.
Yeah.
Squeezed it in like a greased up pig.
Yeah. So over time, Dr. Andros kind of starts to shift towards bad guy energy because he starts to focus on biotechnology and warp technology. So it could be okay stuff, but it's a lot more dangerous than the medical stuff he used to be focused on.
It's the classic arc of every like science villain. They always start off with good intentions, but then always end up like ambition at the crossroads of no more lands to conquer. And then they're just like, what about, you know, and then they go off and do war crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if I build a black hole at the center of our solar system, but it's for a warp engine, guys? Come on.
Yeah. So
don't I'll put your robot pig brains into flesh bodies that can live in outer space or something.
I can kind of lore boys connect the dots on two of these points why he might have changed his attitude.
Okay.
And to both of these things we learned from Nintendo Power. Andros's parents get killed because of a cruel, unspecified military experiment from the Cornerian government. So they put the pig brain into the people to try and get them to go to the gym or something. Yeah.
Where do you think, General Droopy, where should we run this strategic operation to blast microwaves at a planet's surface? Well, why don't you do it at the robot pig planet? Surely microwaves won't damage them at all. Yeah. But unbeknownst to them, Andros had turned them all into real pigs. Like.
Yep. So, unknown to anyone, Andros swore a vow of revenge against like the Cornerian government. Mm-hmm. So this could be part of the reason why he goes from helping people to biotechnology and space warps. The second one, and the juicy hot goss that we find out, is he also met and fell in love with Vixie Reynard. But there's one hiccup to the love of him and Vixie Reynard.
She's in love with Fox.
She's married to James McLeod and his father to Fox.
Classic. Oh,
okay, yeah.
Classic.
Vixie Reynard is such a good name for a burlesque furry. I'm just like, I think that is, I think that is immoral, but if you need one, that's a great one.
I mean, it would only work for foxes, right? Vixie?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because they're vixens.
Yeah. Of course.
And Vixie regrets cheating on James, but the arrogant Andros refused to let her go.
What? So, you did not tell me there was an affair.
There was an affair.
Come on.
There's a hiccup to their love. It was never said like, yo, they fucked. But it says Vixie regretted her actions. So.
Yeah, she fucked the disembodied monkey head. Yeah. With hands like those, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. He doesn't have a lot in the genitals department, but he does a lot of work with his hands.
Yeah, and doesn't have any 80-year loans that we have to worry about our whole family.
True, She doesn't want her children settled with that kind of debt.
Exactly. No debt. That's it. That is the Pygma mindset, right? Like no debt. He's not some beta bitch. He's got interest payments to go through.
Mm. And here's where he gets too fucked up for kids. Andros wanted to get rid of the father, set up a car bomb, and it killed Vixie instead of James.
That really seems like more of a O'Donnell thing, I'm not going to lie.
I guess.
To bring Wolf back in here.
Why are the Scots getting the Irish treatment in this episode? As an Englishman, I can make these jokes, okay?
Yeah.
I do love that Pete has Irish descent, JB has Scottish descent, and I only have English descent. English and French, so. Yep.
Three. You got like Andros is working with Sinn Féin, like blowing up mechanical pig cars.
Yeah. So Loreboy's canon, Andros is studying wormholes to get back to a reality where Vixie's still alive. And
oh, okay.
That's what I think. But who knows? It makes sense, right? Like his prime thing is like he loves Vixie. So.
I like that as a Loreboy's canon. And probably his parents too. But
Yeah, and his parents, exactly.
They're both back.
So Andros' experiments are kind of becoming more and more dangerous. And Sergeant Major Dr. Pepper, or General Pepper, he told Andros, all right, you know what? These experiments are too dangerous. Like, go back to medical stuff, but you can't do this wormhole technology anymore because it's a risk to public safety.
I draw the line at brain transplants.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. Even though he's told to stop, Andros continues his work. And eventually he caused an explosion that wiped out a huge portion of Corneria, the main city in Corneria, and even had consequences for the whole Lylat system. And it just so happened.
I mean, any explosion that would have consequences for an entire Lylat system, I have to believe it would have more dire consequences than wiping out a single city on the planet that it occurred on.
It just happened.
I feel like it would atomize every single person there.
Yeah.
Unless, I guess maybe it happened at like in space and they like just barely reached the city on Corneria or something like that.
Yeah. It did. That's pretty much what happened. Yeah. Okay. So it just so happened that Andros caused this explosion on purpose. He had a plot to basically get back at James. He doesn't like James McCloud so much. So
this will show that arrogant fucks for making me blow up my girlfriend. So, I like to think that like James Fox in like very Wile E. Coyote, or like Andros in very like Wile E. Coyote fashion, had like painted a car for James Fox to, or James McCloud to get in, and got tricked by Vixie getting into it or something like that. Very Machiavellian.
Yeah, it's like you've got like the car painted on like obviously the Red Rock Canyon wall, and then like a little like plate of bird seed that just says like stable South American government on like a little wooden arrow. He's just like, ooh,
don't mind about you. But he just runs right in and like starts enjoying blowing up the stable South American government while Vixie gets caught in the painting.
Naturally, of course, because the Roadrunner can always like run through the painted on tunnel.
So Andros hatches a plan, and he puts up a assignment for Star Fox. So Fox Senior, or James McCloud, he was unaware of the wife's affair to start with, so he didn't have any reason to believe that Andros like had any ill will against him.
Okay.
He's just like happily going about his life, kind of like the Roadrunner, like you're saying.
Somebody blew up my wife again. Better do some bombing raids on underprivileged countries. The only thing that cheers me up, gets me out of bed in the morning.
Yeah. So
Goose is sitting there. He's just like, come on, man, wake up, get back into it. I got your Ray-Bans out here and everything.
The job number two is hauling, or the bomb number two is job number one. And it's hauling this newly developed gravity bomb to a field laboratory in the Medio asteroid belt for testing. Simple delivery mission. Star Fox has done way more dangerous shit in the past than this. So, like, James, Pigma, and Peppy the Hare, they took flight, and they start their delivery.
Nice. Let's do it.
Little did the team know, Pigma had been contacted by Andros already and was a turncoat. Andros had offered Pigma vast riches to turn on his team, and Pigma was greedier than he was loyal.
So he's not dogmatic.
Big thing.
Look, you're a Pigma, I'm a Pygmy, Marmoset, you know, we got in common, what can I say?
Yeah. So once they were...
Pigs. My parents were robot pigs and by adoption, but...
Yeah, you wouldn't trust pigs if your parents were pigs, wouldn't you?
You would trust pigs if your parents were pigs. Put that on a piece of corn.
Once they were far enough away from Corneria, the fourth planet in the system, Pigma set off the gravity bomb prematurely, or like it starts going beep, 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 or whatever. James McCloud, being a hero, kind of gets as far away from his team and like eats the bomb himself, and it creates a black hole that James McCloud is sucked into. To this day, we don't know if he's out there somewhere or if he's ripped to shreds in the black hole. Maybe only he got sucked through the black hole and went to the alternate universe where his wife is still alive, and Andros is left behind in the one where he doesn't get to meet Vixie, which would be
that
a nice,
would be good.
More likely time dilation means he's still like perceiving himself as getting sucked through the event horizon for the rest of eternity. Basically.
Yeah, so like every time, he's being spaghettified, but like, if you continue to divide a second in half forever, and that was his experience, if he thought, like, damn he's probably only on the M by now, you know? Like,
exactly, yeah. You see, it just keeps getting slower and slower, and he'll never reach that point where he gets the sweet release of death, so.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, for a mercenary, I mean, maybe a fate deserved.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, it's like living forever, right? That's cool. So actually later on, I forget which game, but Andros actually does get thrown into this black hole later as well. to kind of complete the circle whenever Andros gets defeated. So James and Andros get thrown into a black hole. It kind of leaves it open to if they want to make a Star Fox 2024 or whatever and say James and Andros were both thrown into the hole. They're both still alive. You get to meet your dad and all that stuff. That'd be fun.
Yeah, but Nintendo Direct in June, like Nintendo Direct 2022. We're going to get a Star Fox JPEG and then wait nine years before it is inevitably canceled.
Yeah.
So this would have been the perfect crime since Pygma would have kind of gotten away. And James would have been sucked into a black hole. But Peppy, he's an expert flyer. He's probably one of the best, like, people behind the wheel out there. And he just...
The one who gave you those sage words of wisdom, do a barrel roll, so...
Exactly. And he managed to barely escape a black hole. He returns home basically with his spaceship limping. And
literally on its two legs, like a Kiwi word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what a barrel roll is. It's the young Fox McCloud who's an idiot who does the aileron roll.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bless you.
Sorry about that. I surprised me. So Peppy gets home to Corneria. He tells Pepper of Pygma's treachery. and the danger Andros posed to Lilith system. He also told Fox of his father's fate. So,
like a young Fox, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Up and coming in the academy.
Andros gets banished. We'll talk a bit more later of where he ends up. But Fox, he's a cadet in the Corneria Defense Army Academy, the CDAA, and he hears the news. He's super upset. He already lost one parent, now he lost two. But he knows it's by the hands of Andros, so he's got a chip on his shoulder for Andros. And he doesn't know that his mom died by Andros, but it happened. And as the only survivor of the original Star Fox team, Peppy insisted that young Fox takes on the leadership role. You know what? You're new. You're a kid.
You know the difference between a fucking barrel roll and an aileron roll, but you know what? I got a good feeling about you. Your dad took the company from me, didn't leave me with a majority control or even equal control, anything like that. I only got 10% of the shares. He got 90% of the shares.
Yeah.
But there's still about 78 years of debt to pay off. So I think you should step into the CEO chair there, buddy. Come on.
There's no more responsible person to lead like a mercenary company than a young maverick with revenge on his brain.
This will end well, for sure.
So Fox recruits who he thinks is best for the role, and he gets a hot-tempered Falco Lombardi and a mechanical genius Slippy Toad to make up the new Star Fox team, the one we know today.
Yeah, I was going to say, Falco seems confident, but Slippy's an idiot who has never piloted a jet in his entire life, correct?
He does. I haven't played the games in forever, but I do remember him getting messed up a lot.
You lost me! Whatever the line is, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the... So, obviously, I remember the first mission of that game incredibly well, and the rest are like a blur, right? Like, there's some that I kind of have vague memories of, and they're all, like, mashed together. That first mission is, like, more clear in my head. And I feel like it's definitely Slippy's, because like as you're flying, like it's a rail shooter, right? So as you're going over the rail, like your teammates eventually get picked off like one by one kind of thing. And Slippy's like the first one to go for sure.
Yeah.
And you can save your, or according to the videos watching today, if you are skillful enough, you can save your team members by like killing things fast enough or even blocking shots for them and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then
like a score screen at the end died
for me because I was bad at video games and that was the job.
At the end, they all pull into formation, right? But if they get if they've been shot down, they're not there.
I think that's right. It's been a
long
time.
It sounds right,
Because I remember the first mission like Ethan does, because I played it 1,000 times at someone else's house. Yeah. Exactly. And I remember the last boss, which is the big like mechanical monkey head.
Yeah.
And nothing in between. That being said, what could possibly connect those two points that made sense doesn't really matter.
I know you're like your planet side, so there's like buildings and stuff that you have to avoid.
Yeah, there's a city one where you're flying over the street. Yeah.
So we got the four new boys. Pepper, who's the dog, still feels guilty about sending James to his doom. So he starts, even as the general of the whole force, kind of looking out for Fox and taking him under his wing. and Peppy and Pepper, so the hare and the dog, were great role models for Fox and helped him to become an excellent pilot. So by the time we pick up the game, he's kind of prestiged a bit, right?
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. I mean, the dog and the hare being a great role model is because a fox is exactly the in-between of the, if all animals were a line, and you take dog and hare at either end, fox
the
is
midpoint.
Directly center. Yeah,
yeah, you're
those
right.
Two animals, so.
You're right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I'm right, I'm right. You gotta admit.
Oh, yeah. So maybe it was a love square. Maybe Vixie did it with Peppy. Oh, wait.
No, Vixie did it with Andros. I suspect that Pepper was in love with Jane. And I suspect that Pepper, and we can call this Lord Boy's canon if we want, but my headcanon has been that Pepper is the one who set up Vixie and Andros to try and get James to himself.
Oh.
Ended up breaking his best, you know, his true love or whatever, in a sense, when his love died, and holds himself responsible for the whole thing. And that's why he's so loving to fuck.
Right.
Yeah, I had also had like at least a bi-curious vibe from the rabbit and James McCloud.
There we go.
100%.
The dog. I'm saying the general.
Oh, okay. General, yeah. Pepper, the dog. Rabbit.
Pepper, not Peppy. I don't know why it's so hard for you to keep track of who's who.
So back to General Pepper. He is pissed about Andros. He's like found out that one of his guys who he already told stop making time bombs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And grabbing bombs.
Well, again, he's like, this wasn't part of the deal, Andros. You were supposed to take Vicky, not James. Of course he's pissed.
Oh, it was a deal. Oh, I see what you mean.
He started the prospect.
Yeah, okay. he set up Andros and Vixie, because Andros was like, I'm, you know, this young scientist or whatever. And he's like, I'm going to visit your pig brain lab to see what you got going on here as the general for an army, to see if there's any military applications for this, because that's the only way that scientists get funding.
So the real story is General Pepper and Andros trying to get their foxy love things.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, my exactly. goodness.
Yeah.
That's a great name for an album as well.
Their foxy love things?
Foxy love things, yeah.
Sergeant Pepper's Foxy Love Things Band or something.
You do have like four guys. If you just give them stupid haircuts, it can come to that album.
Actually, I was going to bring it up in fun facts at the end, but Miyamoto loved the Beatles, and General Pepper has a similar suit as George Harrison on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely.
Oh, so it is like the Lonely Fox Club Band, basically.
Yeah. Wow, nice.
So General Pepper, Piston Andros, tries him as a first-class offender and banishes him to the distant planet named Venom. Nothing bad could happen by sending away an evil scientist to a planet named Venom, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So what should we do, sir? Should we, like, throw him in jail?
No, banish him to that strange planet at the edge of the solar system where he can't hurt anyone ever again. Surely he's too stupid to figure out a way off the planet, sir. Wasn't he working on, like, warp technology and gravity bombs?
So the people on Canaria believed he would die on the planet, but we know better. He kind of fit right in. He had nothing but time to work on what he wanted. He dug intricate tunnels through the planet's surface, created himself a palace, and continued to experiment with bioweapons and wormholes, even exposing himself to the dangers now. So he's getting kind of bio-fucked up a little bit now.
Yeah, okay. A lot of scientists used to do that, like, back in the day. Oh, was just like, oh, I want to see what this flesh-eating bacteria does. So he'd, like, tie off his arm like a heroin addict and then just, like... Whatever, like, it's like smear some sort of like whatever, like pulverized Amazonian dirt into his arm to just like figure out what the hell would happen to a human body.
One guy with heart surgery. Oh wait, are you gonna tell the same story I am?
No, I was gonna tell a similar story. Joseph Salk, who invented the polio vaccine, vaccinated his family first.
Whoa.
Mm. Oh yeah.
To prove that it was safe.
A guy who figured out how to like clean out your aortas and all that stuff in heart surgery. Stuck a wire through his own vein until he got to the heart and then walked in and x-rayed himself.
I don't like that at all. Like, you describing that, I could feel it in my wrist, and it reminded me of just like the self-test of COVID, but 50,000 times worse.
Yeah.
There was there's a story. Leonid Rogozov, a Russian doctor in Antarctica, who was the only doctor present at the time who got not a bladder infection, but appendicitis. And had to operate on himself and take out his own appendix.
There's a great picture of it, too. A black and white photo of him looking down at his own appendix, taking it out.
Yeah.
So Andros taking out his own appendix and putting it back in just to see what would happen.
He's got a pig appendix now.
He's got a robot pig appendix.
Yeah, of course, yes.
He proclaimed himself Emperor Andros over his new kingdom and the planet Venom, and he vows to destroy the Lylat system. He's pretty smart, so he starts to attract locals and other scum. There's like lizard people who join the cause, a bunch of other like henchmen. He's smart and he's the emperor, so sketchy space people just start following him.
There's no aliens. Everybody's like a robot animal or a regular animal, right?
Yeah, I think because canonically, our Christian God is the God in that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Noah, when he was done repopulating the Earth, was actually sent to space by God, where he went and populated various planets with the animals that were on the Ark.
Right.
Yes. Right. And yeah. Noah's Ark, it honestly cost him 80 years of debt, but it was worth it.
Yeah, it collected interest for 80 years and 80 nights. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the first 15 years, really, you're just paying the interest. You're not really paying off. You're not really paying off the Ark, right? So.
Well, that's why Noah had to live like 600 years was to pay off the loan he took out, right? Right.
Like 900 years, man. Yeah. How old was Noah?
Oh, like
950.
Oh, geez.
Shit. How old was Methuselah? He's the oldest
He's
man.
He's over 1,000, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Noah was the second oldest. And I know this because one time we looked it up at Bar Trivia, Peter. Mm-hmm. Oh, 969. So he's 19 years older. Nice.
Didn't quite make it, idiot.
I do remember looking that up. Where were we?
Exactly where we are, but I'm not going to dox us.
Okay.
I can tell you later.
969 is the I just want to say 69 is the sex number. 969 is the cuckold number. Because you have the 69 having fun over there and then you have them with their patch for the 69.
Damn, Methuselah.
But and if you look at it in a mirror, then it is
so it spells murder. red rum, there's a 69 painted on the mirror in the background.
Yeah, Andros being able to alter his own body, he can grow quite old. Maybe as old as 969, but we'll never know.
And he's a cuckold. We know that because James McLeod is.
Well, it's both. Yeah. A little bit of both. It was kind of sharing. Both. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. Vixie was a hot wife. Is what we're saying.
Okay.
So Andros. He started to get a bunch of people who were following him. He was taking the smartest and the best, making them lieutenants, giving them cool ships. He starts to build and amass an army, basically. And with this new power founded by the forces of Venom, Andros creates an empire. So this is kind of where the games start out. Like Star Fox 64, you're all the way on Corneria, and all of the forces of Andros are pushed all the way to your final door, which is your home planet, and you have to kind of push all the way back to Venom.
It's a Stalingrad moment, basically.
Yeah, or maybe not to Venom, but at least where Andros is. I'm not so familiar with it, but... So here's where you set out to avenge your father and your mother by setting out to kill an ape who was born to pigs. And it's really personal this time because your main villain not only killed your parents, he also fucked your mom. So. Yeah. So that's where Star Fox starts out if you want to go play those old Star Fox games.
They're on Switch. Yeah. Both the old ones are. I saw it. Yeah.
Some fun facts. I'm going to see if I got to any of these. I got to all of them except for one. Oh, no, two. So in Japanese, there's a saying like dogs fighting monkeys. Dr. Pepper is a dog. Andros is a monkey.
Dr. Pepper?
General Pepper.
General Pepper, yeah. I wrote Dr. Pepper.
You wrote Dr. Pepper?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Pepper is General Pepper's younger son who went to med school, whereas General Pepper had to go into the military because he didn't have the grades for it. So.
Of course.
And another thing, which I'm glad they removed, Slippy used to finish every sentence by saying ribbit, but they removed it because it was annoying. Help me, I'm going down, Ribbit.
I love media where all the characters are animals, but there's always one that has, like, animal traits. Yeah. Where it's just, it's as if you had, like, again, you've got, like, a Frenchman, an Irishman, and an Englishman in a bar, but, like, one of us finishes every sentence with a catchphrase that is, like, racially specific. I hop up and click my heels together with my like belted shoes every time I talk about stuff.
I say ah.
Just use your curly red beard. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's Star Fox, guys. One of the older ones. There's actually a bunch more Star Fox lore. So if this is something that you're interested in, I really just covered the prehistory. There's like Lilat Wars. There's I think like four other chapters that I didn't touch. So if Star Fox is your thing, let us know in the Discord. That's where you can find me in the Discord. Check that out in the links. How about you guys? Where are you at?
Yeah, you could join the Discord. Yeah. The link is in the description of this episode. Feel free to also, if you like the show, leave us a review and tell your friends about it. It really helps the show a tremendous amount. Also, if you guys wanted to get in touch with us and have us read something that you wrote on air, we are planning another mailbag in the coming weeks/months. So feel free to take a look at that. And finally, we will be at Comic-Con 2022, COVID, Montreal Comic-Con, I should say, 2022, COVID permitting, of course, because who knows what's happening with that crazy virus these days, but we're keeping an eye on it, so you guys should too. If you guys can make it to Montreal, it'd be a great place to meet us.
Yeah,
we'll do like Japanese idols, and we'll shake your hand with like one of those little plastic grippy hand claw things, essentially. Peter, what's going on in the art world these days?
Yeah, Comic-Con specifically is July 7th to 10th, 2022. Art World is good. At Loreboards Podcast on Instagram. Check out Squared Idea. I am working on my comic as much as I can with a full-time job, but I'm making good progress. You will see something substantial, in quotes, TM, at Comic-Con, but otherwise, yeah. That's
something
it.
Girthy. Pete's got a girthy comic for you.
I sure do. I got a it's... Don't worry, guys. It's a kidney scraper.
Pete's gonna every time he draws with like a quill almost. It's like something just dipped, but what he does is he actually runs it up the veins in his arm to his heart, and he uses his heart blood to draw his comics.
Straight from the heart. Yeah
definitely. But, check out Squared Idea and look for the Black Frontier.
Yes. otherwise, you can check out our merch. Currently, we still have an ongoing sale for 9 more days. Code LoreBoy50 for 50% off everything in the store. Yep. Link is in the description because it is like spring.com/loreboy or whatever. Just click the link if you want to buy a t-shirt.
It's
or get on Discord.
In the description.
It's called the Black Frontier because the blood in your veins is red, but the blood straight from your heart is black.
Is black. Yeah. So it's from Peter's heart is black. It's strange. I think it's an Irish thing, but
yeah. but yeah, code LoreBoy50 at the merch store until May 18th. And that is to celebrate 500,000 downloads. And thank you all very much for that.
LoreBoy50 for all you guys who didn't hear it the first few times that Pete said it, because me and Jamie were riffing in the background. Thanks for listening, everybody. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, if you want to support the show that way and get access to some exclusive perks like all the loser titles that Pete saw me writing down on this episode that we release every Monday, usually after recording, sometimes on Tuesdays. We also will release some bonus content every Thursday, and you guys can get access to this script on Friday. You can see what Jamie actually wrote, and you can kind of reverse engineer our jokes that we put together as it was kind of happening.
Yeah.
But you can see how ill prepared we actually are for this.
Honestly, I don't like the script thing because it makes me have to be way more accountable. Sometimes I would just copy paste from the wiki and think in my head, paraphrase when this happens. But now I literally have to post, like, I'm like, okay, well, now it just feels like plagiarism. So I have to rewrite it beforehand.
Oh, I didn't mean to have you do extra work. I think it's like, I've heard some reviews of like a couple of people who actually do go through it where it's just like, oh, it's neat to see how you guys got to this point. But ultimately, it's just an available bonus if you want it. You don't necessarily have to read through 5 pages of like.
Ding us for plagiarism. Go to every wiki and just control F. See if any phrases are shared.
Oh, you'll find some for mine.
Yeah. Crunch at us. Yeah. But we can talk shop off air. That's patreon.com/theloreboys if you want to litigate against us. fandom.com or whatever.
All the dollars
if you're the Quebec government and you want to audit us, that's where to find the money.
All the dollars that go to me anyways, I can say I'll invest back in the show, whether that's a new camera, that's a new mic. Every once in a while, that's buying Elden Ring on day one so I can actually get the lore out for you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was worth it.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. We are working on some additional things for
not just the patrons, but also the listeners at large. Hopefully we'll have more announcements on that in the years and months to come. But we tend to move slow with these things. So stay tuned on that. And if you guys don't trust Patreon, we do, of course, have Lore Boys Prime, where we do take your donations in return for a very little tangible reward. We have done this before, I'm pretty sure, but we are once again starting a mercenary company, of course, to terrorize the solar system. the unfortunate thing is we were unable to get a loan, an 80-year loan on a starship. So we're actually going to need some co-signers. So this week's Lore Boys Prime is just send in your signature and consent to use said signature on whatever legal documents we may need to. We'll be on the Lore Boys Prime website. We'll be putting up a draft document there. Sign that'll basically say you consent to us using signature and basically granting us the power of attorney.
Awesome. Future, so. I'll be Pygma and I'm going to get all of the loot at the end. So that's
my name's no good my name's no good on the moon, so I can't sign those documents anymore, man.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, we need people to sign them for us. So Pete is trapped on the moon. He's on a lunar base where they're building the starship for us right now. But make sure to head over to wherever Lore Boys Prime is sold at a convenience at a 7-Eleven near you. Just head on over there and tell the dep clerk that you're looking to sign up for Lore Boys Prime.
The rotating rack. You've got like the prepaid visas. You've got the Amazon card. You've got the Lore Boys Prime thing.
It's right Lore Boys Prime.
And those are just iTunes gift cards that you should send to Lore Boys.
And that would cost you a day. Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
It's Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam.
Yo, Semites. Was the gunslinging rabbit hating Yosemite Sam Jewish all along? We spoke with the creator's family to learn. Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.